Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
There's something that the Lord was showing me of the show of his righteousness. It's kind of like the words that kept coming up in my heart, like a show of his righteousness. And you know what? Let me find this for you. Isaiah 54. 17. Isaiah 54:17. So look at what it says. And you've read this before, but watch this closely. It says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." A lot of people read that, but not a lot of people believe that. That in actuality, I mean, what he just said, that no weapon, it doesn't matter. In other words, anything formed against you, anything done by someone or something in order to hurt you, a weapon formed against you, something devised to bring you down, something devised to make you look bad, a tongue of an individual, someone speaking against you, right? Someone speaking falsely, someone accusing you, right? He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I'm naive enough and been taught enough from the Lord to just believe what he says, right? That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But here's what I know. I believe that is done, and that is a show of the Lord's righteousness in me. That it's not like, okay, that he is, that I'm saved, and the Lord is just like, he sends angels just ahead of me to always protect me, even though I believe that the Lord does do things with angels for our benefit. But what I'm trying to explain to you is, this is not talking about something external of us, right? It's not talking about just things that are external of us, that God just does those things out here in order to show the world that we're his, right? But the righteousness that we have is in us, right? He made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is a gift, something that's already been given, not something that God gives, but something that has been given to you. You've been made righteous, right? So the righteousness of God is the reason, the right, why all of these things do and should happen in your life, right? It's the reason why. Because you have Christ in you, you're treated as the Son of God is treated. Why? Because he's the one that's on the inside of you. The life that you live is his life in you. So if he's the one that's living through you, what should your life be if not who he is, right? As he is, that's why he says, so are we in this world, because he has made us like unto himself, right? We have been made new in Christ. New creations, right? It's not a different species of human being, but new, in that this newness of life that we have is of God now. That's what it says, all things have become new, and those all things that he just said became new, it says all things are new and all things are of God. All those new things now in your life are of God. Right? So he says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So that means that when things that people are trying to do to hurt me, right? You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but what happens is, and not everybody, I don't think the world's against me, but just for some reason, there are people that don't like me, right? And it happens, you know, at work in different places. And the funny thing is that this thing occurred, and the Lord just put it in my heart, you know what? Just let your boss know. So, you know, I was thinking about it. So I'm not saying the Lord, you know, the Lord told me that strongly, right? And there are things that the Lord says that are very strong in your mind. But just, you know, I just was going about my business, and I thought, you know, I should really tell my boss. But I just kind of let it go, right? And I just kept doing my thing. But I'm acknowledging the Lord, right? I'm acknowledging the Lord. Like throughout my day, I'm saying, Lord, thank you, Lord. I acknowledge you. I thank you, Father. You're the one that's working. You're the one that's doing things. And a little while later, I realized, oh, I had this meeting scheduled with my boss already. And while I'm in that meeting with my boss, you know, he comes to me and he says, you know, I just wanted, you know, anything you want to talk to me about, anything you want to tell me. And I said, you know what, there is one thing that I want to share with you. And I just start sharing this thing with him, right, that was said, and this thing that came. And lo and behold, right after that meeting, you know, he has another meeting with these senior, you know, vice presidents or whatever, and he calls me back and he says, you know what, good thing that you told me, right? Because I just got out of this meeting, and one of the first questions that this vice president asked me was, he said, well, the first thing that he asked is, do you know about this thing with Jose? Right? First thing that he asked. He said, yep, I knew. He just told me, right? So it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing how, and I'm not saying that situation there was intentional, right, to hurt me, but even though the person may not have intended it, right, there are things in this world, right, that don't exactly like Christians, right, that would try to form things against you or to work against you, right, in your job, or to work against you with your promotion, or to work against you in your finances, right? And the things that you have to know is that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and that is because the righteousness that you have on the inside of you is of God. It's of Him. So because of that, right, things like protection in your life is just a reality of who you are, and you have to know. Now there are things that happen to people, and you know, you wonder, well, if it's because of that, you know, is it just because I'm a Christian and that's why? No, it's not. It's not just because you're a Christian. It's because the righteousness is of God, and you receive it. Right, listen, there's a verse, and I think it's a Romans 5:17, but I'm not exactly sure. A very popular verse, and it says that those who receive the abundance of my grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life. But there are people that have the righteousness of God in them, and they don't receive the abundance of the grace of God. The Bible, speaking of the grace of God, another verse that says about receiving it, right? He says, since we're receiving a kingdom that is on the inside of us again, that cannot be shaken, the Bible says, let us have grace then. If you're part of a kingdom, then have of the grace of God that's on the inside of you. What is it sitting in there for, if not so that you would have of the grace of God? Those who receive the abundance of the grace of God and of the gift of righteousness reign in life. What is this saying? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Listen to me. If that becomes a reality in your life where you see the Lord working all those things out and doing those things from inside of you, you know and you receive, you know and you acknowledge that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You believe that, what begins to happen in your life? That no weapon that's formed against you prospers, right? No weapon formed against you prospers. So he says it and you believe it, right? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Look at what it says. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment and condemnation, right? You shall condemn. You shall condemn. He says, this is the heritage. What is another word for heritage? This is the inheritance, right? Heritage. This is the inheritance. In other words, we have been given, right? The name of this church, right, is Harvest Family Church. Why? Because all that the Lord has done for us is on the inside of us. It's an inheritance. It's something you have received already. Listen, you will not commonly hear that. Most Christians that love the Lord, that I believe are saved, right? And if the Lord were to come back, they'd go with Him too, right? If He were to come back today, they'd go with Him too. They believe that everything in their life, there are people that believe, well, you know what, with that, everything happens for a reason. Everything, you know, it's the Lord's will for everything to happen in my life. And they receive, instead of receiving the abundance, how can people say, listen, just this verse alone, right? You know the truth, right? Something bad happens to them. Somebody rams into their car, right? They dislocate their neck and they live all their life now with this pain in their neck, but they But you know what? I believe everything happened for something, and it was the Lord's will. And you know what? I did get my Mercedes out of it. Now I have been living with this pain in my neck for, like, you know, for 3 years now. But you know, a good thing came out of it though. I got a new car, you know, and I started talking to my daughter more because I was near death, you know. So the Lord brought a lot of good out of that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You have to ignore that to believe what that person believes. So how do you know that what they're saying is true? Well, it doesn't fit into Scripture. The fact that God allows bad things to happen to people that are His just to teach people a lesson, where is that? Why do we have Scripture then? For that very purpose. For that very purpose, so that people can be taught. So that you can know when someone says something is truth, well, where is it? Well, where is it? Why is it that when you attend a service here, you're given scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, right? Why? So that you know. So that it's not that you're hearing something that sounds good, so that you can go back and you can see the verses for yourself. You can know by the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and know, you know what, Lord? I see that in Scripture, and I know, Lord, that this church preaches by the Spirit of God, and I believe that which was said, it was truth, because you're showing me that, right? You're showing me truth. You're showing me truth. So here's what it says. says, no weapon formed against you, no tongue, right? The heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now here's what he says. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You know why that's your heritage? Because their righteousness is from me. Because their righteousness is from me. Let me explain something to you. In your seeking, right? People are seeking what? People are seeking truth. People are seeking fame. People are seeking money. You can think of 100,000 things if you just let yourself go that people are seeking. What does God teach you, and what has He written in Scripture that people ought to seek? Watch what He says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and then what? Righteousness. Now, where is the kingdom of God? And Jesus answered that question. And we know that in our heart, right? And we can be reminded of it. Where is the kingdom of God? Because if I'm seeking it, I want to know where to look. Right? If I'm seeking the kingdom of God, I want to know where to look. Where is the kingdom of God? Do I look up to heaven all day long seeking like this? Well, he said it doesn't come with observation, so you ain't going to see nothing. You can look all day long at the clouds and you're not going to see the kingdom. Right? So is the kingdom in a book? Again, he says it doesn't come with observation. You're not going to find the kingdom in a book, right? So where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said, seek first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. Where is the righteousness of God? Is the righteousness of God that we have been made, is it in heaven? Is it in the clouds? Is it in churches only? Is it in a book? Where is the righteousness of God? In us. He is, the Bible says. Christ is our righteousness. So watch what he says. That in our seeking, the Lord says that the two things that make up our seeking, or should make up our seeking, what we're looking for, right, are in us. Where is the majority of the world looking? Outside of them. How do you know that? People take, and they have a cross, and they go, but they kiss their cross all day long, because they think that their lips rubbing against the metal is going to give them good luck, or they carry something in their pocket. Why do you carry that all around all the time? Well, you know, like my mother died, and before she died, she gave me this coin, and I just carry it around for good luck, you know? Because they think that that thing in their pocket is going to do something. And people say stupid stuff like that all of the time. But it's stupid, but they believe it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be carrying the dumb thing in their pocket. They wouldn't be kissing their cross. They wouldn't be doing this, right? Right? They wouldn't throw a football and then go like this. Like, what does that do? What did you just do? What did that do something to you? What happened when you did that? Nothing. People just do it because it's traditions of men that does this. Makes the Word of God, in other words, the Word that is in you, that the living Word of God, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? I just thought in my head, it went wrong in my head. I said, I said the Word of God that is more powerful, I thought in my head, than a locomotive. Like, able to leave tall buildings in a single bomb. That's probably, I'm dating myself a little bit. But that's what they used to say. Wasn't it Superman they used to say that about, right? The Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, more powerful than a locomotive. It really is. He is more powerful, but holy mackerel, that was just funny as heck in my head. All right. So, let's just keep going. I don't even know where I was. All right. So just things, you know, things that people do. And you know, can I tell you something? It's not because people are bad, right? It's not because people are inherently want to do dumb things that don't work in their lives. It's just that people are seeking. People are seeking. Like, if people actually think that, you know, if you walk under a ladder, that's 7 years of bad luck. You know, as dumb as that is, people will see a black cat pass by them and they'll think, oh shoot. No, that was stupid. They'll discard it, but they looked at it. And they thought there's something to it. Even for a split second, what is that from? Dumb things that people hear. Dumb things that people hear that are not truth. And it was probably your loving mama that loved you and gave birth. Not you, I know you're young, but I'm saying like maybe your older mama. I'm thinking like maybe a mama that's from years and years ago, right? That would tell you something like that. Oh, like my mom used to tell me this. She used to say, Mama, look, I can cross my eyes and I do silly things. And you know what she'd tell me? Don't do that. Serious, listen, my mom, she could joke, but she was serious as serious can be. Don't do that, because if a fly passes in front of you at the time while you're crossing your eyes, you'll stay like that. Right? You know what they have this thing? They call it wives' tales, right? Myths. You know why? It's dumb. Like you hear that. I mean, like, I see your face, right? Like, he's thinking, like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But they believe this stuff. They had, like, their mother's mother's mother tell them that. I had a loved one tell me this. A person that I love that talks to me right now, that I love. Here's what that person told me. That person said that they had something going on with their leg, right? And that they needed surgery. So here's what this person said. They were told by an individual, they have a fracture in their bone, right? They have a fracture in their bone. And listen, as serious as can be, and that person is doing this today, and I love them, and they think it's real, right? They're going to take a bottle of rum, and then take the seed of an avocado, and they're gonna take the seed of the avocado and they're gonna grind it all up and mix it in with this thing and let it sit for God knows how long. And they're gonna take that thing and put it externally on their skin. And he believes that this thing is gonna heal the fracture in their bone. Right? Now please tell me, right? What's stupider? That or that there is a God that lives in you that can heal you, right? That's dumb, dumb, dumb to the second power dumb, right? But why? It's just things that we hear have no substance, have no basis. We have no scripture. We have nothing for it. And people just grab to it. Why? Because they're seeking. Because they're seeking and they believe dumb things. And I'm telling you, I believe probably that I've told my kids dumb things too. Because you know what? All you have to do is have a child probably younger than you guys, but because you guys probably already do that to your parents, but even younger, you know, you have a child that gets to a certain age that said, "Where did you hear that?" And then, because they challenge you, you said something and it sounds a little bit off, and they say, "Daddy, where did you hear that?" Or like, "Did you read that somewhere?" And I'm like, you know what? I have no idea. Like, I don't even know where that came from. I don't know if I read it. I don't know if my mommy told me. But you people say it, God bless you, people say it as though it is truth and fact. And you may have just heard it on YouTube or something and you're probably misquoting it. But you say it like it's a fact, like it's truth coming out of our mouth. So you see what happens is there is, people are seeking and they will latch on to things, right? But here's what he tells us to seek. What is in us is what he says. Everything that anybody will tell you, I'll tell you right now, right? As God is my witness, right? These words that are coming out of my mouth, right? Anything that anyone tells you that you should seek after because that is how you will succeed, it is no truth and it is a lie. And it's a lie. Because the only thing that can give someone the assurance, like, that nothing, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, I was just telling, and I'm going to use him as an example anyway. I'm not asking him, but I was talking to Matthew, right? He's my son-in-law. You know, he's married to Lindsay. And I was telling him, I said, you know what? I said, you know the one thing that I am so happy about? I said that my daughter that I love with all my heart, right? My little girl married someone who wants to listen to God. I don't need to know that he has the most money, that he does this, that he will do this for her and that for her and the other thing, and that he's the best student, and that he has the greatest job, and all of this stuff. One thing, he listens to God. That's all I want. You know why? Because that's all God wants from me. And I know that if there is someone, who do I want for my son? A woman that will hear and listen to the Lord. That's it. That's all I want. Because I know that what will happen, that if they keep listening to the Lord, what do I want for my family, for my daughter, for my son? That no weapon formed against them will prosper. That no weapon formed against their family will prosper. That no tongue that rises against them in the future, right, will come against them and make them fall. That people will not reign over them. That they will reign in this life. I want the best for them, which is everything that God wants for me and that wants for them. And if I know how that's received, that's what I want for them. That's all I want from them, right? So there goes the thing. Like, and I told my daughter this years ago, don't come up to me, honey, and tell me that I love this man and that that's the excuse, right? Because I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Why is it that you're going out with this guy? What is it that you see in him? Why do you love him? Oh, Daddy, I don't know. I just love him, right? Because I don't care. Because I don't care. It doesn't matter whether you love somebody. You can love somebody and think that that's the man of your dreams. And if that man does not listen to God, you're asking for problems. You're coming up to him and say, you know what, I want problems in my life. Will you please date me? I want problems in my life. Will you please do this for me, right? Because you know, if they don't hear it from God, what spirit are they listening to? I'm not saying that every once in a while they're not going to do good things. It's what spirit are they listening to? This whole thing about tying down your children to tell them that it's just, you know, you can't be unequally yoked. That's it. You just can't be unequally yoked. Give them a law and they'll want to break it. Teach them that misery follows when you marry somebody that may be very attractive, that seems to be very, very nice to you, but if they're not listening to the right spirit, why would you? I mean, let them look at it for themselves. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Why would you, on purpose, you that say that you love God and that want to listen to the Lord, why would you on purpose marry someone and become one flesh with an individual who is not going to have the same mind you have? You're going into something knowing that you're going to live with disagreement. Or you can live in a fantasy that's going to say, well, maybe they'll get saved. Okay, so then wait. Right? So then if they're going to get saved, so then wait. So then wait. And inviting them to church and having them come here one time doesn't mean they got saved. Wait then until you see the fruitfulness in their lives, until you know that they're speaking by the Spirit of God, and then wait if you believe that that's the one. But you see what it is? It's not just in your job. I've given you examples. It's not just in your relationships. It's not just in marriage. It's not just with your children. It's not just with coming to church and what church do you pick. It's in everything. In everything. In everything. It is just if you listen to Him. He'll teach you of the gift of righteousness that you've been given, and these things become a reality in your life. No weapon that will ever be formed against you or your family will ever prosper. Every tongue that tries to rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And you'll know that this is the heritage, the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, the Lord says. He says it's from me. Let me show you something. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:28. We were reading this. I'd encourage you. I don't know if we're going to be able to get the message from Wednesday. I hope we can from this past Wednesday, because it gave you a whole first part of this. But if we can get that up there, because we got this fancy new recorder and the dumb thing recorded was lousy. So, whatever. So, but we did record it in a different way. So hopefully we'll be able to get it up there. So verse number 28, look what he says. Matthew 6:28. So why do you worry about clothing? In other words, why do you worry about another way? Sorry, we're in King James. Let me go there. So, and why take ye thought for raiment? Right, what you have, what you're dressed with. But can you stay here with this with me for a second? What I wear is seen. Okay. Don't get caught up in clothes. You know, he's not talking about Levi jeans here, right? He's talking about raiment, which you have to look at what he's saying. He's saying that which is seen. That which you're clothed with is that which is seen, right? Watch. That which is seen. Now, a weapon, someone trying to hurt you and it backfiring on that person is seen. They know that. They'll see it. They'll try to hurt you and it didn't work. And they don't know why it didn't work. Right? And they'll try again, and it didn't work. They see that. What they're seeing is something, they're seeing. Potiphar, when he looked at Joseph, right? He said, the Spirit of God is with that man. All he was doing was being a slave in his home, right? This man was a slave in his home, and noticed the righteousness of a man, right? Noticed God with that man. Right? That's a better way to say that, right? Because he didn't have the righteousness of God in him, right? But notice the spirit that he was from. But like we were talking about before. Listen, if Potiphar can know the difference between the spirit of the world and the spirit of God, surely we that have the spirit of God in us can know the difference too, right? Potiphar wasn't saved, didn't even love God, right? At all. But yet could look at a man and say the spirit of the Lord is with that man, right? Joseph, a slave in his own home, right? So here it says, it's talking about vesture, right? Why do you take thought? Why take ye thought for raiment? It says, consider the lilies of the field. And what we were talking about for a second is, he's not telling you to look at flowers, right? He's telling you, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. He's not telling you, look at the flowers. He's saying, how do they grow? Now, here's an interesting thing. Can you look at this with me? Look at it. And why take ye thought for raiment, right? Clothing, what is outward, right? Why does he say, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow? What is that word grow there is increase, right? What does increase have to do with clothing? Why does he say, don't take thought for raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow? I mean, what he should be saying is, consider just how beautiful they look on the outside. But what he's talking about, listen, this is such an important thing. How they grow, which, stay with me, right? Something grows from the inside out, right? It's growing from the inside out. Things don't grow from the outside in, right? Things grow from the inside out. Things grow from a seed, from the inside of a seed out, right? He's saying here, don't worry about raiment or that which is seen, right? But consider instead the lilies and how they grow. How they grow. So what we're watching is, how do they grow? What makes them grow, right? What makes them increase? What makes them increase, right? He says, they toil not, neither do they spin. So what does he discount there? The lily itself, right? He's saying they don't grow just because of themselves. They don't grow on their own. Lilies don't grow because they evolved from a tadpole, right? That's not why they grow that way. They don't grow because they evolved. They don't grow because it's just nature. They don't grow because it just happens, right? Because that's the dumb things, also dumb in quotes, that we're told in school, right? And it sounds convincing, but it's just a theory and they can't even prove it, right? This whole evolution thing, and we got monkeys all over the place that haven't become people yet, right? So there's idiotic things that people say over millions of years. Well, how long have people known monkeys? They still have not caught yet a mid-monkey, mid-human person, right? It's not just that it doesn't make sense. It's just that it's not true. And because it's not true, you look at it and it doesn't make any sense, right? Because God makes sense. The Lord makes sense. So look at what he says. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. So he says, it's not because it's something just inherent in them. And then he says, and yet I say unto you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed them. If God so clothed them. So he goes back again to the outside. So he's talking about, so if God is the one that makes them increase. Said, if I make lilies increase, he says, right? If I make lilies increase, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What is O you of little faith? O you of little faith is O you of people that know God very little, right? If you have big faith, you know God a lot. If you have little faith, you know God very little, right? Jesus told that to his disciples many times. O you of little faith, how long shall I be with you? Like, I've been with you so long and still you don't know me. Even to the day of his resurrection, he's telling them, show us the Father, Philip is saying. He's, I've been with you all this time and you still don't know me. Right? That's called little faith. You don't know me. I'm with you and you don't know me. Sounds like people, right? He's in them and they don't know him, right? And they believe a lot of things, but he's in them and they don't know him, right? So he says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the sea, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he's saying there, watch this, he's saying that things grow and they increase because of God, right? He is the one that causes the increase. He said it's not so important who sows, right? And it's not so important who waters, but the Bible says it's God who makes the increase, right? It's God who brings the increase. It's God who causes us in our lives to what? To not allow any weapon formed against us to prosper. It allows the same thing that he talks about in Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8, where he says that all things will work together for you, for good, for you that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? All of these things are the inheritance in us of God. All of the things, financial prosperity, right? What does he say? He said that all things, right? God will meet all of your needs according to what? His riches in glory that are in Christ, where again are what? In you. Where is the inheritance? In you. Where is the kingdom? In you. What are you seeking? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why is righteousness important? Because righteousness is the thing that God justly, as the judge of all the earth, said that's what gives you the right to receive everything my son has. It's not because you're good. It's not because you toil or spin. It's not because you toil or spin. It's not because you work. Toil is work. It's not because toil is labor. It's not because you labor. He says, look at the sparrows. He says, they don't gather into barns. They don't work. They don't have savings accounts. He says, but yet look, your Father in heaven, look how he cares for them. And you know what he says? You're of more value to me than a sparrow. So what is he continually saying? I am the one that does that. I am the one that does it for them, and they do not do it for themselves. What does the world tell you? Well, it's just they have this instinct, you know? And then they just know these things. And they just, my gosh, you know how many things, I mean, you just watch. Just even in a fallen state, you watch the things of this world. And you're like, there is no way. Just, you know what, when you get to be a grown man and you have a wife or you get married and you guys see, get to experience or see, right? You watch a film about babies being born when you go with your wife to those Lamaze classes, and it is amazing. How does that even happen? I mean, how it occurs, right? The baby comes in, he just latches himself in there. I mean, how does it all occur? How does all of the miracles or the things that we see, do they occur if it's not because everything is held together by the word of his power, and everything that is made was made by him and for him? And that there is not just intelligent design, but there is the wisdom of God that made everything we see. And even if in its fallen state, it's still amazing. Even if in its fallen state, it's still amazing, right? And you know what this world can tell? The Bible says that even by the things that are made, they can know the power of God. But that's all they'll ever know. They can know that there is a great power somewhere, right? A higher power, people call it. Because you could be the lowest intellectual individual and look around and say, you know what? That big, huge tree came from a little thing like that. And scientists, with all of their knowledge and power today, they can't do that. They can't make an oak tree out of something that big, right? So they see and they know there must be a great power somewhere. But we don't have to, I don't have to look at nature and look at frogs and see how they grow, or look at an ape, or look at a person, or look at a baby to believe in God, right? Because believing in God, saying that there's a higher power, you can believe that there's a God and you're not saved, right? And you don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. But if you accept what he's done to save you, that's salvation, right? Accepting what he's done, believing, allowing the Spirit of God to teach you into that, lead you into that truth so you can know. So let's keep going there in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So he says, in verse number 28, let's just go back up again. He says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Can I tell you something? Just in these closing moments, right? If you can see the things that it is that the Lord is driving us to, and even you guys, you know, that are now, there are so many things that the Lord will continually do in your life, things that he's doing in your lives, and things that he's preparing your heart to be able to make, that he could give you the wisdom and know that the Lord is teaching you decisions that will be made in your lives, things that you will decide to do, big things that are like life-changing things. And we can lean not on our own understanding when it comes to relationships, job, money, and all the other things in our lives, and school, and how hard I'm going to try in school. You know, there are people that are very intellectual, that are smart, just smart kids. They could do better, but they're just going to do what they have to do just to get by because it's boring them. And they're convinced that it's just that they're so smart that this stuff is just boring them. You know, it's just waste. Wasted days, wasted years, wasted months, when they could be things, listen, so much more profitable. So much more profitable. Listen, I'm like filled with all kinds of stories, but I got 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you another story. Just talking about movies we were talking about before, right? I watched this one movie about this one kid who all he wanted to do was surf. That's all he wanted to do, was just surf. And he wanted to surf these type of waves that are called mavericks, right? So he does that. He goes out there, he's following this surfer guy who was supposed to be based on a true story. And when I see that, I'm saying, oh, based on a true story, maybe it'll be kind of good, you know? So, not obscene, didn't have a whole lot of bad words in it and stuff. So, okay, so I'm watching this thing. And it turns out, he follows this guy, pesters this guy. This guy shows him how to surf, you know, reluctantly. You know, they develop this great bond. The guy never had a son, and now he's kind of like a son to him. And I'm like, oh, this has kind of turned out good. And he learns how to surf, and he's doing it. He's surfing this maverick, and he's out there in the middle of California surfing this humongous wave, and it's all great. And then here's the movie about to end, and he's surfing this wave, and out of his mouth comes, I never really did think. You know, they're kind of narrating what he's saying in his head. I never really did think that I was ever going to live very long. And I'm like, oh, jeez, he's going to die. Like, what the heck kind of thing? Let's make a movie about that. Let's get a kid in his youth who works all of this, comes from an awful home, gets a great relationship with this guy, serves this maverick, becomes famous in the world of surfing, and at the age of 23, he drowns carrying out his dream. Dream what? You're dead! So that's supposed to what? Inspire somebody? That's supposed to inspire somebody what? To carry out your dream and then die doing it. Like that's a purpose in life, to have a dream, carry it out, but at least you die doing it. That's stupid things that this world believes. That you should live the last of your days doing what you love, but at least you die doing what you did. Right? I should have known that something was wrong when the movie starts saying that we are of the sea. I knew that something was already wrong. It's like, we're of the sea? What the heck is that? What do you mean we're of the sea? I wasn't born in the sea, but the whole tadpole thing, like we came from the sea or something. So we're of the sea, so that's why we're returning to it. So you see what happens? It's speaking from the spirit of the world, and there's a message in that thing. What's the message of that movie? If you don't know the truth, you can actually live and make dumb decisions in your life and say this, well, you know what? I'm going to marry the man. Why? I don't care. I'm just 16 years old, but I'm going to elope and I'm going to just go away with this man because if it doesn't matter what happens, I just love you and I'm just going to do it. Those are dumb decisions that people make and they ruin their lives. And they spend years trying to get out of something, right? And a lot of them end up Christians too. You know why? Because after all of those mistakes, they finally learn, maybe I ought to be listening to God, and then they end up in a church. But I got something better for you. You don't have to waste 16 years of your life. You can seek Him right now. Why wait until then? Why not just allow the Spirit of God to teach you now and let the rest of your years be things? Can I tell you something? Because you're here right now and you're listening and you hear, and that's the kind of people that you are. Can I tell you something? I can live with this assurance that if you keep doing what you're doing and I keep doing what I'm doing, every day, month and year of our lives only gets better. And I know that, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because there is no weapon formed against me that's ever going to prosper. So because I lean on Him who is on the inside of me that's greater than anything in this world, what can hurt me or my family or bring me down or destroy my life or take me out at a young age? Nothing. Nothing will ever. Why? Because that's my inheritance and I believe it. And I'm listening and He's teaching me what I have as an inheritance from the Lord. Now I tell you what, we talked a lot about a lot of examples. I think it's just a good thing. A good thing just to help us, you know. We talked about how you can listen and know what spirit something is of. We talked about how you know that something is of the spirit of the world or the spirit is of God. We talked about how truth is not for you, right? You don't have to try to decide if something is true, but the spirit of God in the inside of you, He leads you into all truth. So once you make up your mind and you say, you know what, I'm going to start coming here and I'm going to keep listening the way you've decided to do, then you know what? All that you have to continue to do now is say, you know what, Lord, by your spirit, you teach me and you show me what truth is. And if you know what, and if there's things tonight that you heard that you said, you know what, Lord, I believe that those things were of you. And you could have even identified with some of the silly things that are in the world, right? And the things that they believe. But you know what? When you hear the Lord teaching you and saying, you know what? Your righteousness is from me. He's trying to teach you everything that you have is of Him. And that He wants you to seek two things. The kingdom of God and His righteousness, which really, in a nutshell, is to seek Him who is on the inside of you. The reason why the kingdom of God is in you is because you have Him on the inside of you, by His Spirit in you. And if you believe that you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and that means that you're His, because if you don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you are not His. The Bible says in Romans, right? Because we believe that we have that Spirit, then you know what? Then we can pray, Father, and we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that we know, Lord, that it does not matter right now at this stage of the game and at this age, all of our ages right now. It doesn't matter what has been done, the decisions that have been made. But from here going forward, Lord, you teach us and you say, today is a day for you to be saved. For you to be saved and receive salvation for the first time, or for you to receive and continue to receive the salvation that is in you and put on what the Bible calls the helmet of salvation that comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So we thank you, Lord, that today is the day that you say, don't harden your hearts against my Word. Don't harden your hearts against my Word. But Father, that we would hear. And the Bible says, your Word declares, Father, your Word declares, Lord, that we, you're speaking and saying that we are to mix faith Mix faith, Lord Jesus. Mix faith with our hearing. So that means, Lord, that we believe that who we hear is You. To mix faith with our hearing is to believe that You, Jesus, are the One that are teaching us and showing us. That You are the Word that is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Powerful, Lord. Searching, Lord, and going deep, Lord, into our innermost thoughts and desires of our mind. Lord, in separating, Lord, those things that are of the soul or of just an unrenewed mind and those things that are of Your Spirit. By Your Word on the inside of us, Father, You do that. You do that, Lord, and You show us, and it's plain to us. How You do that, my God, I don't know how You speak on the inside of me. I know that it's by Your Spirit, but I don't know all of the ways of how You do it, but I know that You do, Lord. That You teach me and that You show me, Lord. And that I'm sitting there, Lord, and I'm just acknowledging You, Lord, and You bring things to my remembrance. And You speak things, Lord. And tonight You've said so many things that I believe, Lord, are intended, Lord, in order to lift us up, Lord, to know that all of the days of our lives here on this earth can be, my Father, successful. All of the days of our lives, Father, decisions can be made that are with good judgment and with excellent discernment, Father, of Your Spirit. To know, my Father, that we are protected and watched over by You, my Father. That You are the One that makes all things from inside of us, Lord, work out for our good. Even when people mean things, Lord, for our demise, You turn them around, Lord, immediately for our good. That we live, Lord, acknowledging You in all of our ways, every day, in all things. We acknowledge You, Jesus, and we speak those things, and we say, I acknowledge You, Lord. I just acknowledge You, Lord. I acknowledge You, Father. I acknowledge You, Lord. I acknowledge You with me. I acknowledge You. You speak. I acknowledge You, Lord, and You're the One that speaks. And thank You, Lord, that we can be alleviated of toil and spinning, of work and of labor. And rest comes from that, Lord. And it is true. It is true. That all of us at different ages right here, we can all live lives at rest. At rest, no matter what decision is coming, no matter how near or how far it is, we can live at rest and not pressured and believe, Lord, that You are the One that are doing these things. And just like Father Isaac knew that he must have had a feeling, Lord, or something. Or maybe he didn't even know that he was going to get married. Maybe he didn't even know, Lord, that he was going to get a bride brought to him. Lord, but all that he did was he got up that morning, he went out in the cool of the day, and just had his mind just meditating on You, Lord. And the wife, Lord, that You intended for that man was brought right in front of him, was brought right to him. What is that called, Lord? That's called, seek first the kingdom of God and My righteousness, and all of these things I will add to you. I will add to you. I will add to you people and relationships and things that are needful in your life. Things that you need and things that you want, I'll add them to you. But you will not have to seek them the way the Gentiles seek after them. I'll add them to you. The world chases after a mate, after a boyfriend, after a girlfriend. The Lord says, I'll add them to you. I'll do that for you. You keep your seeking on Me, and I'll add all of these things. He says, for I know that you need them before you ask. How good are You, Lord, that we don't even have to ask? How good is our Father that we don't even have to ask? How good is our Father that we don't even have to ask? Father, we don't even, just listen. How good is our Father? We don't have to ask, Lord, and therefore lust doesn't even have to be an issue with young men and women. Doesn't have to be an issue with any of us in here to lust after anything. Why? Because if our seeking is right and on Him, our lust can be just on Him. And lust is not a bad word, but lust is just a powerful desire, and you seek after those things with your whole heart. But Father, thank You, Lord, that we don't have to lust after the things of this world, because that's what You're saying. The way the Gentiles seek after the things of this world, He's saying you don't have to. And when your seeking is just about Him, lust is a thing of the past. Lust is a thing of the past. The Lord will add to you all things. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to ask. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us rest. Thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful Friday night, Lord. Beautiful Friday night. Thank you, Lord, that we get to enjoy, Lord, this evening, Lord, with you on our hearts, acknowledging you, going to a brand new day tomorrow, Lord. Good, Lord. I pray, Lord, for a great weekend, Lord. For a great weekend, Lord, for each and every single one of us, Father, as we acknowledge you. A great weekend, my Father, as we know and we continue to grow in the knowledge of who we are, Lord, and we rejoice in that knowledge. And we thank and we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.